Okay, so hi everybody, how's everyone doing? You guys are good? All right, and I'm excited to be here tonight and share the word with you. So basically, I'll give you a little bit of background on what I'm going to talk about. You guys remember the Anchored series that we had, that Pastor Drew went through on Sunday mornings? Raise your hand if you know the Anchored series, being anchored to our faith, the core values. Okay, so we went through the core values of healing and the core values of loving people who are not yet in the family of God. Remember that? Okay, like there's six of them. So what happened was we got together, the youth leadership and Pastor Drew, and we kind of gave him the idea. Well, I've been in New York a little bit, so I'm starting to talk like the New Yorkers. All right, my uncle's like that. He says, oh, we says. All right, but I'm back, yeah. And the pizza there is really good, man. So I can't eat pizza here for a while until I forget the memory of that pizza. Because, man, Jesus, bring New York pizza here in Jesus' name. Anyway, so we said to him, this is a little funny story, actually. I went to a Yankee game, and I had my Brooklyn Jackie Robinson jersey. It's an awesome jersey, like a light blue. And I'm wearing it, and I met this guy there. I like to walk around stadiums, especially if it's my first time at the stadium, and kind of get to know it and talk to the people a little bit here and there, and befriend people, right? Brian's been with me and Tony. We went out to San Francisco Stadium, and we had to come in peace. we had to de-escalate people. we're come in peace. Anyway, yeah. I was in Yankee Stadium, and he says to me, this guy that I was talking to, he says, yeah, I'm gonna come out in California, and me and my fiance, we want to know what stadium is the best one to go to. So of course, I told him, Dodger Stadium, man. Yeah. I said, don't go to Angel Stadium because it's boring over there, and it's not as beautiful. If there's any Angel fans in here, I'm sorry. All right, love you guys. Hey, I don't hate the Angels. All right. I just like to give Pastor Drew a hard time because he goes back and forth, mostly on the Angels. Actually, I did tell him that the San Francisco Stadium is really beautiful. And then he says to me, he looks at my jersey and he says, wow, when you grew up as a kid, did you used to watch the Brooklyn Dodgers play in Brooklyn? They moved here in 55, by the way, okay? And so he finally saw my face and he's like, trying to save it, because you don't look old enough for that. You look young. Anyway, I just remembered that right now. What was I saying? So we were talking to Pastor Drew about let's have some core values. We have core values, but that's, again, like I was talking about the confession of the Bible confession. It's so important to go over things that we already know. Can you say amen? Okay, especially in the things of God. Every single writer that I can think of in the New Testament addresses that. John, that you don't lose your reward. Paul would put himself, go back in the same missionary trajectory, the same cities that he went to, just to confirm the disciples, to encourage the souls of the disciples. He would go back in places that he was stoned in. And I'm talking about with the rocks, not with anything else, okay? I'm talking about they threw stones at him, come on. And they thought he was dead, and he may have been. And that's when the disciples came around him and prayed over him and raised him up. But he went back to those same places. Why? To encourage them with the things he had already taught them. And Peter says it. So we were talking to Pastor Drew and said, hey, what about these core values, things that we can have some mantras, we can stay grounded. And he liked it. Then he said, go ahead and can you come up with six of them? We don't want to have too many. So I came back to him and said, these are the six that I think. And then we talked as a team. One of the six that we had was unity. You guys remember that was one of the ones Pastor Drew talked about, unity? One of the ones that I had suggested to him was generations. It's always been on my heart. As a youth pastor here for many, many years, it's always been on my heart that generations need each other, that we feed off each other. God is a progressive God. He's the God who was and is to come, and et cetera. And so, anyway, make a long story short, we combine those. So what I want to do tonight is give a different perspective, and we combined it, so it's just, it's all good. So, but Pastor Drew did a great job a little while ago, a month or so ago, to talk about unity and the power of unity. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. And then in James, it talks about where there's evil, where there's confusion and strife, and there's every evil work. And one translation says there's a man, or if you look at it, it says that's the manifest presence of the enemy. When there's strife and there's confusion. That's why, have you ever been with somebody who just wants to argue, wants to fight, and you're like, you could be right, but you're like, I'm walking away, because you do not want to be in that environment. You do not want that. That will spiritually, it will walk in and it will rip something out of your soul. It'll take something from your life. Because why? Because the enemy, God, Jesus told us, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's when you go, okay, I'm out. I'm not going to be part of that. Because strife is the manifest presence of the enemy. So we can't have that. So unity has to be, it's crucial. It's crucial to the Christian faith. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am the Lord your God, and I, the Lord our your God, we are one. But if you look in that, it's a multi-plural noun. The Lord our God is three. It really shows the Trinity there, and that's back in Deuteronomy. But it says we're one, so the three are one. That's unity. So of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with different roles, different, you know, one became, you know, was incarnate and took on flesh, et cetera, then we know that we need to be one. We're called to be one. It's crucial. So unity is crucial. Well, today I wanted to take a little different look at that and talk about unity between the generations. Now, I have a cool job tonight, and that is to talk about something that we're already doing well. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, it's but you, can we do better? Yeah. Can we remember how important it is? Yes. Right? So we'll just have some fun talking about how important it is. And the funny thing, the interesting thing is a few weeks ago, I spoke to Sozo about the same topic. But I talked to them what they needed to hear. Amen? And so... we'll jump into it right now, but let's go ahead and pray. You guys ready? All right. Father, we come before you and we ask for only your utterance to come forth. And I pray, Father, for each person to hear your voice within my voice, because your voice is what changes us. And that's what the church was built upon, the revelation of hearing your voice. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. So I thank you that where we are, we thank you for where we are as a church, but we also give you praise, glory, and honor by faith of where you're taking us. And we give you honor for just all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So can you guys put up Malachi 4:6, please? So this is one of the verses that I went over with the youth. Malachi 4:6. Is crucial. This is the last verse of the Old Testament. The last verse, and then there's a few hundred years when there was silence before the Messiah was born into the earth. And he will turn the hearts, and it's talking about the spirit of Elijah. And by the way, the spirit of Elijah, it's still alive in the earth. It's an anointing. And it was on John the Baptist and other people, but He's talking about the spirit of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So talk about the need for unity. Can you see it?
Unity.
Talk about the need for unity between generations. This verse is so strong on my spirit, and it is for... now, for tonight, but it just always has been ever since I read it. How, you know, because you can see it in the world too. You see how the enemy really tries hard to divide age groups. I mean, he'll divide anything, right? Men, women, black, yellow, white, green. You know what I mean? He's a divider. especially in the day and age we live right now. He is active. And let me just tell you, as a people of God, we need to be one. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, Pastor Daryl Copes, which you guys know, whom you know and love, my brother, he's like the black Pentecostal preacher, he calls himself. And man, he's my brother. And he told me, he says, Paul, you know, we so one, it's not even funny. And he's not just talking about me and him. He's talking about the people of God. We so one, I'm quoting him. That's exactly what Pastor Daryl said. We so one, it's not. So it's just, and when he said it, just struck me. He says, you know, you're so right. When we get the privilege, when we know God's word, to see things the way God sees things. So it has to do with generations as well. The hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So last time I spoke to Sozo, I talked to them. They're the children that are turning to the fathers. Amen. Honor your parents and those things, right? But I told him, I said to them, and you guys are blessed because you've got some great people. Older generation, just, you know, your parents and the people of this church. And I pointed down here. I said, you got some great examples. You want to know why? Because it's ingrained in us from our pastors. It's our core. I mean, it's our four pillars. The word of God's our final authority. Youth and children are a? I should just let you guys say the whole thing. Priority. Are a high priority. And then spirit-filled prayer and spirit-filled worship. Those are our four pillars. Amen? And so there is, it's such an important thing for us. So I'm just going to remind you of some things. And I'm just going to share from, I'm this generation, right? I'm not a teenager. I'm not a kid. And yet I've worked with youth for a while. And so we'll just see how the Lord leads as far as, sharing some things along these lines, because there's a lot at stake. There is so much power. I mean, do you know how many times in the book of Acts it talks about how they were all in one accord? I mean, one of my favorites was is Acts 2, when it says they were all in one place and one accord, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly there came a mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And, I love revival. I love just thinking about it, studying it, and hearing about it, right? I don't know, have any of you, like, stood in the maternity ward, you know, and you're not having the baby, but you're just, like, excited to watch this new baby come out, you know? And, I mean, I've done that. I was with Olivia's daughter, Selena, and it was so funny. We were in a hospital, and and we were just walking. It was a bunch of, Ray was there too. Anyway, and Selena was so funny. She ended up getting in this door, and Selena's like this tall, you know. She ended up getting in this door where there was no access. You're not allowed to get. You know, it's the maternity ward of this hospital. Oh, yeah, that's right. We were visiting Ray. That's right. Who else was with us? Oh, yeah, and Lynn. And Camille, were you there? Oh, Camille, you missed it. All right. Anyway, so I remember that Selena's just so full of life, you know. So I'm just, and so am I. I'm just following her. And so we're just watching the windows, and we're checking it out. And you ever, and the life of a newborn coming into the world, that's exciting, right? Yeah. It brings excitement. Well, that's all revival is. It's bringing something to life. Amen. And so I was looking at that, and I was thinking, I was watching a little video on kind of a study of different revivals in the past, and they made a statement. Somebody made a quote that said something to the effect of, everything in Christianity, the founding of it, the New Testament, Jesus being born, the church, it all has to do with revival. You cannot separate God from revival. And so My story was, when I went to Bible college, I studied evangelism. I went to a Bible college where it was 2 years. I ended up going three. It took me a little longer. And so I went the first year with just like your Bible basics. right? You're just learning the faith life, and you're learning the praise life, and you're learning New Testament survey and Old Testament survey, and they're just, and it was awesome. And then the second year, you pick a concentration. So I picked, and of course, I didn't just pick it. I prayed, right? And I said, evangelism. And then there was like my youth pastor, or my youth friends, right? And they're the ones, and I love them. I love them. I love youth people. See, I don't identify myself as a youth people. I'll get to that. They're the ones that were like, oh, they dress like the youth. They talk like the youth. They test out every single kind of pizza flavor there is, because we got to have pizza parties if we're going to be a youth ministry. And, you know, I'm not putting it down at all. But I'm just saying that's what I noticed. Now, when I did first get saved, I didn't like youth ministry. I already told you this, Tony. You're like the only one who knew this. And he's the only one that says, what? Tony, I was just saying in my head, I know Tony knows this. And he'll bring it up to me every once in a while. And so, go Dodgers. And so, I didn't spend a lot of time in youth ministry as a teenager. I got saved when I was 18, but I did go to a youth group for a little while my senior year, the Christmas of my senior year. I asked my mom for a Bible. She gave me a Bible, and it didn't have no pictures in it. So I only read like 3 chapters of it, and I didn't understand it. And then I started going to church, though. And so I started going to the youth group at the Presbyterian church down, you know, in my town. So I remember going to some youth events, and it was all good, but even after I got saved, and even after I went to Bible college, I go to the church and I kind of look and go, that's kind of like mini church. I'm just being real. I'm just telling you how I felt. Like, I don't want mini church. I want the real thing. It's like we're singing that song. I'm hungry for God. You know, I'm hungry for God. I'm not here for a meal and you're going to give me just a little slice. I want the whole thing. I want all that God has. Now, I studied evangelism, and it was awesome. We got to preach. I got to preach with some fireballs, just amazing men and women of God at my Bible college, and love evangelism, love sharing my faith with people. And then went to ORU, and then I came back to that Bible college, and that was my third year, and that was when I had a chance to kind of take whatever classes I wanted, because I already gone through the main two, and I could do whatever I wanted. So I took a bunch of missionary classes, because I love the nations. It's always on my heart. And I took classes on youth ministry, because I sensed that God was going to bring me into a local church, and he was going to have me help out. And so I took all these youth classes. That's when I really got to know a lot of my youth friends, and I was like, hey, they're cool. And so then fast forward to when I came here, and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I believe in my heart. I have a heart to, you know, for revival, for God to move. And I realized, you know what? That's probably one of the reasons that I always love youth and kids. Because sometimes they're the first ones that get it. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, can we be real? And so I really, and if you think about it, even when I was in worship, the Lord was showing me Mary. She's a youngin. She brought forth the Messiah into this earth. The disciples, almost all of them, Peter was a little bit older, but we're talking about maybe in the upper teens, maybe in the early 20s. All the disciples were young. David, what did Samuel do? No, 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 no. Do you have any more? Do you have any more? Oh, I got my young one. I got my hakatan. The word hakatan in Hebrew, it means little one, or you could define it as rejected one. Do we know anybody in the world that looks down on people when they're young? Not our God. Amen. Because he knows that when they catch what he has, the move of the Spirit, when they catch the reality of heaven in them, inside of them, they will not be denied. All right, so what? Why am I saying all this? You guys aren't youth, right? Well, we're young at heart, amen? Oh, we can be. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so and that's one of the reasons I'm always around kids and youth, you know what I mean? So I can keep that fire. But let's get into it. Let's go to my first point, and we'll answer that question through the next few minutes. Number one point we have, and when I say we, I mean us, our generation, okay? We have something that they need. Everyone say, I have something they need. That is so important, guys, so important. They look up to you. They look up to us, especially those kids down there. They're awesome. And the leaders down there are awesome. They have hearts for God. And it takes, God wants to connect us. It takes the whole church to raise up young people for God, especially in the world we live in. We used to have kids who would, sometimes their parents wouldn't necessarily have the same standards that maybe Pastor Drew and Tamara, and I say them, but it's the word, amen, because they always quote the word, and they always tell you, what does the word say? And so sometimes we had this little thing where it was like, well, some of the kids who were being parented a little bit more, spiritually speaking, they would say, well, wait a minute, Bubba can go to that movie, and they don't have to look at the ratings, they don't have to this and that. And so then we got Bubba up in a room with Pastor Tamara and Pastor Drew and said, hey, guess what? Your parents are your parents, and we will never, all we can never do is partner with them and try to help them raise you. But I'm just telling you, if you let us, Pastor Tamara would tell them, we will be your spiritual parents, and we will help you on the spiritual side of things. Because as you guys know, parents need help too raising kids. Amen? It's not the job of the youth pastor or the pastor, but it is, we can be a help. And are there any parents that say amen to needing help raising kids in this day and age? Amen. So that's what we say to young people. And that's not just the youth pastor. It's not just the youth leaders that have come through the youth ministry. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the head ushers. It is us. Everyone say, it's me. So we have something that they need. All right, so we talked about Hebrew, Malachi, we need to keep them, we don't want nobody to be cursed, amen? So the being united together keeps us in the blessing of God. All right, so let's look at, all right, let's go to, and I was going to say this. I have a sub-point after point one, and that is this. Because you might be thinking, but I've tried to talk to some teenagers about Jesus, or I've tried to encourage some people, and they just looked at me three ways from sideways, and, looked me up and down. You know what I'm saying? They didn't receive it. My message to you is that God will bring, if you have a heart to bring what you have to them, then God will bring the right people to you to share that with. Because there's something in your heart and my heart to pass it on. That's a legacy that God has called all of us to have. Amen? And you and everyone in this room has life experiences that whether you either want someone to have that life experience or you do not want them to have that life experience. They can learn from you and me one way or the other. And so my sub-point is God will, the people that want what you have, He'll bring them into your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's young people at our church, and God's going to continue to bring young people at our church that want that. And they want the wisdom. They want the experience. They want the knowledge. What else? So what else? What else do you think the older generation can bring to the younger generation? Anything? I saw a hand over there. Hazel? Hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes young people, they're like, my boyfriend broke up with me. My life is over. Is your life over? No, because there's a life. You know what I mean? God gives you hope. He gives you a future. All right, let's go to point number two. We'll come back to this. And then they have something that we need. Just two simple points. We have things that they need, and they have things that we need. Amen. So let's look to 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12. My buddy Cliff, are you in the house? Yes, that's it. That's his life verse. When he was in Sozo, he would say this. Every other sentence out of his mouth practically was this verse. Amen, brother? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The point I want to make there, obviously Paul's talking to his spiritual son, Timothy, but he's telling Timothy to be an example to the believers. So that means young people can be an example to us. Do you agree with that? Is that possible? Has anybody experienced it? Maybe they read a verse and they don't have all the seven reasons that I think, well, what you need, mijo, is to really understand. That's not exactly what it means. No. Let's not get all tied down with that overthinking or doubt or letting the life experience that we can help them with, it can counteract our faith. I know I'm not the only one, right? And so their fire, that's why Jesus told his disciples, let the young people come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Because they were trusting. They were quick to believe. They would be respectful. Even if they didn't even understand something that's happening, the gravity of like being in the presence of the Messiah, they would just jump on his lap. And sometimes we need to just jump on his lap. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look at this story in John. What do I have on there? John 6? Let's look on there. So this is one of many examples of something that we see in the Word of what Jesus did. But after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him. That's the reason that it happened a bunch of times, because a lot of people followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, now check this out. He says to Philip, one of his disciples, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He asked one of his disciples. Do you imagine? Like, we're one of 12 people rolling with Jesus, and then there's thousands and thousands of people back there. And we're just there. Like, okay, I got my little knapsack, and I have a couple of mints and a stick of gum, but I don't have nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? What's he doing? He's testing them. How he's testing them. Are you thinking in the natural? Or are you thinking in the kingdom? All right, let's keep reading. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. But don't get all crazy in your doctrine. If they would have stepped up and said, then he would have done it. You know what I mean? Anyway, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Let's keep it there, please. All right. So he's trying to think of a solution. He's trying to get solution-oriented. At least he's not complaining. At least he's not a Debbie Downer going, man, they're all going to die. We're going to watch them die right in front of our eyes, Jesus. At least take care of us. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. All right, next verse. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, verse 9, there is a lad here. Is this New King James? That's cool. I don't know. So I got distracted by the word lad. Lad and lassie. Okay, sorry. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Verse 10. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, everyone say filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. See that stewardship? He's extravagant, but he also has stewardship. Amen? Verse 13, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets and 5 barley loaves. Okay, can you go back to verse 10, please? 9, please. All right, check it out. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he has another idea. There's a lad here. I think it means little boy, right? I remember looking this word up. It actually means young person. It could have been a girl. We don't know that. Come on, ladies. You guys can serve God too. And I don't listen to this. Only guys can be, you know, in ministry, all that junk out there. All right, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? So can I ask you a question? How do you think he knew that? I mean, there was one little boy. Maybe he has a super cautious mama, or maybe, you know, what, or he just is built that way, but he packed a lunch. Do you think that food is enough for that little boy or girl? Yeah. I think I could get by with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish if I was a little boy. He's good. I don't know about you all, but I'm good. What do you think happened there? Now it doesn't say exactly what happened, but could it be that maybe that little boy walked up to Andrew and said, you guys can have this. Is it possible? It is possible. Because it doesn't say that that didn't happen. And so I want you to understand here that the little boy played a big role in this miracle. Did he not? The lad. So what I want to suggest, what I want to throw out there, because we got disciples now, and well, before I get to that, there's I love what the Word of God says. Jesus later on says in Matthew 16:9-10, if you have your Bibles, let's go there. I don't think I gave that to the back, so let me just read that. Matthew 16. You guys are so good. Good job. All right. So he's talking to his disciples. He's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Because the leaven, there's 3 kinds of leavens. We won't get into that. But he's basically telling them, watch out for religious thinking. When he says religious, he means when you have a form of godliness, but you deny its power. And they start talking about bread. Because leaven is what makes bread rise, right? So they start going back on the natural. And then he says this, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, verse 10, nor the 7 loaves or of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Why do I throw this verse out there? Because Jesus wanted them to learn from the experience of somebody bringing all they had, and he multiplied it. He told them to sit down in the grass, and he brought it up to heaven, like I did the offering earlier, and God multiplied it, by the way, through the disciples' hands, because Jesus just gave it to the disciples. The disciples passed it out, and it did not stop until everyone was what? Filled, and there was way more left over than what had started. And there's a bunch of examples of that, but at least one of them in John talks about how it started with the lunch of a small child. And do you remember what Jesus started with? He started with, Philip, what should we do? How can we feed them? He was setting them up, and he sets us up because we can live by the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto us. He's talking about food, clothing. He saw. It says that that the Lord is according to his riches and glory. He'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus in Philippians. And so he's wanting them, he tests it out, that do they have a kingdom mentality? No. Then the kingdom shows up because he's the king and it's his domain. Amen. And then something supernatural happens. And then when they leave that place, he expects them, we know from this, he expects them to learn from that and know that God could cause that rock to turn into some good bread. He could just have it fall out of the sky. I wonder if that ever happened. You know what I'm saying? And he disciplined them when they didn't have that mentality. So my question to us tonight, if there's anything challenging in here tonight, because again, it is a pat on the back. We have an awesome church, and you guys are wonderful. And the most important thing is I just want you to encourage everyone here that, because when we say revival in the youth, it's going to start with the youth. But God did say it would start with the youth. It's not just going to stay with the youth. Sometimes people can get into, oh, well, I'm not a youth anymore. They don't need me. I'm done. I'm too old. No. Because God's always into unity. He's always into people helping each other, family, encouraging each other. The youth need to know, you know, the Bible even says to not put a young person in leadership because lest they be lifted up in pride. And hopefully most of us have had enough life experiences to know that I better not get too big for my britches because it ain't me anyway because life will slap me down really quick. You know what I'm saying? That it's all him. Anything good I have is because of him. Amen? And we can pass that on to them. We can help them. We can encourage them. But my question is that I want to challenge with is, are we going to be like Philip saying, well, what should we do? Or are we going to be like that little child and just give all that we have? Because I tell you, there are a lot of awesome young people at this church, and there's a lot of great interns. Have you guys noticed any really cool interns, people? And so I want to ask you guys about that, and don't say anything out loud, but search your heart and ask yourself, what's your philosophy on somebody, a young person, saying, you know what, I'm not going to go to college right away. I'm not going to do what everyone's told. I feel like God's telling me to be an intern. I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to college. I mean, this whole year, I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to school. I'm not working a job. Because our reaction, even internally, in that moment, have you ever had something that, you ever been excited about something and somebody else just kind of just rains on your parade? Yeah. Oh, no, that ain't going to happen. Well, thank you, Debbie Downer, because I didn't ask your opinion anyway. You know, because Jesus said that you guys understand, the God is a God of life. He's the author of life. He came to give life and life more abundantly. Amen. And so the thing is, life comes from him. Revival, remember, that's bringing back to life. And Forgot what I was going with that. But the Holy Spirit will show me. He'll remind me. The young people, they come alive. And we don't want to be those who would dissuade them. We don't want to stand before God and say, there was a person who was so gung-ho to serve God, and I told them the three reasons why that wasn't responsible. Now, I'm not saying anyone in here is like this, but it is a good reminder to check our hearts. Oh, I know where I was going. There was Jesus said, because he talks about the new wine. Joel talks about the new wine in that day. Peter quoted this in Acts 2, at the end of Acts 2, when this Holy Spirit was poured out. Remember, because of unity in the upper room, and they were seeking God. And he said that this is that which was prophesied by Joel, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he calls his Spirit, one of the things he compares it to is new wine. Well, Jesus has a story or parable or an example, and he says that because what they used to do is they take this wine when it was just formed and it was still fermenting, and they'd put it in wine skins, which were like probably made of animal skin, and so it was flexible. And so as this wine would ferment and it would release gases and it would do its natural process, then it would expand with the wine skin. And if they put new wine in an old wineskin, which was already formed by wine that had already been in it, then the new wine could expand, and it was brittle, it wasn't as supple, it wasn't as flexible, and it could break. And Jesus literally used that example. So we guess what? It don't matter how old we are, we can still have new wineskins. It's the way we think. It's our perspective. It's encouraging young people. They become an intern, and we go, Lord, help me. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me to partner with them. If I send money to a ministry who's rescuing people and from trafficking, saving people in India, do you know when I do that in obedience to the Lord, do you know that I partner with that ministry in its rewards? Absolutely. I don't have time to show you that in the Word of God, but Paul talked about people partnering with him. And it's as if I'm going there too. And God might call me to be here, working with this church, working in my job, et cetera, but I can still, that's why we talk about tithes and offerings. Well, how much more can we because that's one thing that they need from us sometimes that we don't have, and that's dinero, right? Sometimes, right? Money. And that's, that's part of it. I'm not saying it's all. And I'm not even saying just like giving money when your heart's not attached to it to do that either. I'm saying because they really need our heart. They really need us to believe in them, us to encourage them, us to, be there. And that starts with knowing that I have something that they need. I am somebody that they like. Do not ever think that the young people are, thinking negative thoughts or looking down on you, or because that's the enemy. The enemy will tell you that, oh, man, I'm too old. They don't want to hear what I have to say. That is the enemy. I remember when I first came to church. When I first came to church, see, the biggest thing that has attracted me to Jesus Christ is the family of God. I have a wonderful family, but I always, for whatever reason, I always felt kind of left out as a kid. So when I came to church, I just came. I've always been the kind of person where, like, I don't care if anyone comes with me, I'm going somewhere. Because I learned how to be alone, okay? And so I went to church, and I remember looking at the families, and I remember watching people, especially the older people. And I was like, I think, wow, how long have they been serving God? How much do they know? And it was all respectful. And I remember going to my grandfather's. He lived on Sherman Way in Van Nuys. And after I got saved, I used to go. I went to his church, a nice little Lutheran church that he'd walk to. And they knew his name. And they said, Godspeed, at the end of the service. And I remember looking at that pastor with so much respect for that office of a pastor, and I was about 18 years old. And what if somebody in that church or that pastor thought, oh, look at this guy. He's got his whole life ahead of him. And what's he doing at this little Lutheran church? He probably thinks that I'm, wait, you know what I mean? What if the enemy's feeding him stuff that he has a choice to either reject or accept? And it's the same thing with the young people. Anyway, so I just wanted to encourage everybody tonight that God is doing something awesome in our church. Amen. There, it really, a lot of it has to do with combining the generations, right? And there are more that are coming. And when they come up here, hey, when they come up here and praise God, come up with them. I do. You know what I mean? There is no rule. Just come up. Let that fire, let that youthful enthusiasm, you know, stay on you and increase. Yeah, increase in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just love you. We thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for the core value of unity, the core value of unity between the generations. I pray that what we're doing in this church, the good that we have going on, that it continues, that we continue to see young people the way you see them, that you continue to connect the generations together, that the young people would be wise, because it does start with the fathers turning to the children, but it is both as well. And so I pray that there would be wisdom in our young people that would recognize that there are some amazing people who've been walking with the Lord and walking in life and understand some things that they want to pass on to that generation and want to support them and want to encourage them and partner with them. And we pray over this new intern class. We call them blessed. We thank you that they will fulfill what you've called them to do. We thank you for Pastor Vegas and the rest of the staff, the rest of the leaders, that we pray that they would have all the Holy Ghost equipment that they need to pour into this year's group, that they would excel and that they would increase, and that you are restoring things to the church and that it would be restored to them, that creativity would come up, supernatural creativity, supernatural songs, and increase in the anointing, increase in the spirit of evangelism and ways, downloads from heaven to win people to you, to draw them into the ark before the doors are shut. And to have an attractive presence of God. And it is so attractive when there are people, when there's diversity in the house of God. Diversity of all kinds, and that includes diversity in ages. That is a wonderful thing, because it shows that you hold all things up by the word of your power. So, Father, we call this group blessed tonight. We thank you, Father God, that we are better tonight because we came to church with a heart attitude to love you and serve you, to serve each other, and to hear from God tonight. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.